Genesis 42. Let's begin reading in verse number 36, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin also away. All these things are against me. Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. He said, My soul shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief shall befall him by the way in which you go, then you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I want to preach for a little while tonight from these verses of Scripture on the work of the unseen hand. You can be seated tonight. Yes. The work of the unseen hand. Jacob is receiving word from his sons about their trip to Egypt for corn. Now to bring you quickly up to speed here, Joseph has been the favorite son of his father, is sold into slavery, and there he was. There he was for some time in the custody of the Egyptians in the household of Potiphar, eventually put into prison for a crime he didn't commit, interpreted dreams for the butler and for the baker, and because of his interpretation of the dreams of Pharaoh, the Bible said he was made second in command in the land of Egypt. They put up corn in time to come, and so that when there was a famine in the land, there was a man who had corn down in Egypt. And Jacob sends his sons down in Egypt to buy corn. When they get there, Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And the Bible says that he took one of the brothers, Simeon in this case, as in custody of the Egyptians. And then the demand was from the man in charge of the groceries, who they knew not was Joseph, to go back home and to bring Benjamin back to see him, in order to achieve Simeon's freedom. This was about more than what Jacob could bear. It seems to him that he has lost two sons, and his baby boy's life was also in peril. He thinks that Joseph is dead, and Simeon, surely they'll kill him down in Egypt as well. I've lost two of my boys, he says. You've bereaved me of two of my children. Said Joseph is not. Now, he was wrong. Joseph was. And he said, Joseph is not. And he said, Simeon is not. He's wrong again. Simeon's alive. Joseph is alive. But Jacob does not believe that. And he said, now you'll take away Benjamin also. Seems to him that he's lost two sons, and his baby boy's life was also in peril. Everything before his eyes was negative. It was against him. It was an enemy of his family. But Jacob was not able to see it all. As far as God was concerned, everything was headed in the right direction. As far as Jacob was concerned, everything was headed in the wrong direction. And yet all the while, their desires were aligned. The things that Jacob desired for, what the Lord desired for in terms of blessing Jacob's family, were in agreement. But God knew what Jacob did not know. Everything was going as planned. Joseph was alive. He was in charge of the food to care for his family. And that they all would be soon safe in the land of Goshen with every need supplied. Sometimes we fail to realize what God is doing. We fail to recognize what God is doing. We fail to see that God is up to something when our world seems to be coming apart. But when we can't see those things, and when we can't recognize those things, there is an unseen hand at work in our lives. I am grateful for that. The song said, there is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways that I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads where'er I go. I'm trusting to that unseen hand while going through this weary land. And some sweet day, I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. Amen. That song said in the second verse that I long to see my Savior's face. Yes. And sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. There is a hand of God that works in our lives and does things that we don't see, that we don't recognize. Brother William Thompson used to say, just because you don't know what God is doing does not mean that he's not doing. I mean, the Lord is busy when we don't know what he's doing. He is working all things for our good and for his glory. Now, there's really just three things I want to show you here in this passage of Scripture, and we'll be done. I'll not be long here this evening. First, I want you to see that there is bitterness here. There is bitterness here in the life of this man, Jacob. Verse number 36, the Bible said, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Verse number 38, he says, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone, and mischief befall him by the way in which you go. Then you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." Notice the emphasis on self that happens in this verse. In verse 38, again in verse 36, the Bible teaches us it's all personal to Jacob. You've taken Joseph from me. You've taken Simeon from me. You're going to take Benjamin from me. All these things are against me, and you're going to be the end of me. I'm going to worry myself into the grave. It's going to just kill me if anything else happens to them. It's amazing how some people can make everything about them. I mean, Jacob is a man who has spent his life making everything about himself. Even in his concern for Benjamin, it's expressed with selfishness. When you live life as Jacob did, looking out for yourself at all times, you're setting yourself up for bitterness and rooting up in your life and in your family. Jacob was a man that is always looking out for number one. He was born into this world, tripping up his brother, holding on to his foot, the Bible says. And all of his life he was sneaking, and he was conniving, and he was tricking, and he was lying and deceiving to try to get ahead. He was a trickster. He was a con man, and it was all about looking out for number one. Me, me, me. And when you do that, when you live this way, you'll root bitterness in your life. Now, the reasons for Jacob's bitterness were understandable. You say, "I got plenty of reasons to be bitter. I'm justified in my bitterness. It is the way it ought to be. I mean, I haven't been done right." You may be absolutely accurate tonight, but just because you're justified in your bitterness does not mean that it will make you a better person. It'll make you a much worse person, and you do well. You quit looking to self so much and stop being so bitter. His reasons were understandable. His family was a wreck. His brother hated him and vowed to kill him. His mother sent him away from home to live with his uncle. He worked 7 years to marry the woman he loved, and his father-in-law and his sister-in-law deceived him into marrying the wrong woman, and she was ugly on top of that. That in itself would be reason enough to be bitter. Your father-in-law and your sister-in-law connived to hook you up with the wrong woman. You married her and she's ugly. That is enough reason by itself to be bitter. And Jacob was. And my friend, he worked another 7 years to marry a woman that he really wanted. And then his father-in-law and his brothers-in-law hated him for God's blessings on his life. He left town fearing for every part of his family. His favorite son, the son of his old age, Joseph, the Bible says, knew that he had God's hand on him. He has disappeared, and he believed him to be dead. This is a horrible famine that's going on in this time, and it's about to starve his family. And now his sons are leveraged for a foreign king in a spy or intelligence investigation, and their groceries are dependent on the outcome. Jacob must have felt absolutely justified in feeling bitter over this. And my friend, his bitterness is real, and the reasons are understandable. But the results of his bitterness is unforeseeable. He resisted what God wanted to do for his family. He got upset with what was going on. He got upset with how God is moving pieces around. And in the end, upset about the way God was doing things to feed Jacob and to feed his sons and to feed his grandchildren. And Jacob is trying to get in the way of what God is doing. Be very careful when you get frustrated at what's going on in your life
that you don't get bitter against the Lord and get in the way of what God wants to do for you and your family. If you're not real careful because of your frustration, because of your justifiable bitterness over the circumstances of your life, you can get in the way of what God is doing. He didn't know that in the bitterness and fear, he would be standing in the way of meeting Joseph again. He thought Joseph was dead. God was trying to arrange a meeting between Jacob and Joseph, and because of that Jacob didn't like the way God was doing it, he was getting in the way of the greatest blessing he could ever have had in his whole life. You may be getting in the way of what God wants to do in your family and in your life to bless you. Your bitterness may be understandable, but in bitterness you may get in the way of what God wants to do in your life through his unseen hand. You can't see what God is doing, but while you can't see it, God is pressing buttons and he's flipping switches and he's pulling cords and he's doing things ready to help you in your life. And meanwhile, you're so bitter and you're so sour and you're so blind that you cannot see it and you will not acknowledge it, and you keep getting in the way of what God really wants to do for you. Meanwhile, you wonder why God hadn't done something. And he wants to, and you won't stay out of his way. And you're going to have to repent, whether understandable or not. You're going to have to repent against your bitterness towards the Lord and yield to his unseen hand. And then Jacob realized when it came right down to it, he had no other choice. He was going to have to send Benjamin. They won't give any more corn if we don't send Benjamin. And we won't get to eat if you don't send Benjamin. He knew he had no other choice but to do this thing that God had sent in his way. He had to get out of the way and let God work. But what he didn't know was when he did get out of the way and when he did let God work, there was a great blessing waiting for him. And when you will, my friend, let go of that thing or those things that have you bitter and been in bondage, and let God work in your life, you can be blessed, and he wants to bless you. There is bitterness here. Then secondly, I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, there is blindness here. Blindness. Jacob couldn't see how God would allow this. He couldn't see how any good thing could come from this. He couldn't see why he had to go through this. He just couldn't see that there are things going on here outside of his sight. Everybody in this building, one time or another in your life, and maybe right now, you've said, I just don't see why things are this way. I just don't see why it's got to be like this. I just don't see why they did that. I just don't see why the Lord lets this. I just don't see why God doesn't do something about it. I just don't see why things are not different. There's a lot of stuff we don't see. There's a lot of stuff we can't see. There's a lot of things God won't let us see. There are things he is never going to let us see in this world. We're not going to see. We're not going to understand. We're not going to grasp. Now we're looking through a glass darkly. You're not supposed to know everything. I'm not supposed to know everything. We're supposed to trust in the Lord who does know. There are things being concealed. He didn't know Joseph was alive. I mean, if you'd asked Jacob, what about your circumstance? He'd say, the worst thing ever happened to me was when Joseph died, but Joseph ain't dead. And my friend, here he is mourning and crying and bereaved and bitter over something that's not even true. He said, I'm upset because Joseph is dead, but Joseph is alive and well. It was concealed. He didn't know Joseph was alive. He didn't know Joseph was Lord. He didn't know Joseph was loaded. He didn't know Joseph was still in love with his family. He didn't know Joseph was longing to see them. He didn't know, my friend, that this was the avenue that God would use to bring about the promise of God in his life. He couldn't see these things. It was concealed from him. No doubt Jacob had heard about his father Isaac, telling him about how the Lord had spoken to his father Abraham. Now when the Lord spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, and in verse number 13, that God told Abraham that his descendants would have to go down to Egypt, and that in Egypt they'd spend 400 years in bondage, but that they would come out of that place more powerful and inherit the promised land. He knew that was going to happen. He just couldn't see that this thing of this man in Egypt that had groceries, he couldn't see that's how God was going to get him there. He couldn't see that the thing he thought was going to be the death of him and bring down his gray heirs to the graves, was not going to kill him. It was going to fulfill the prophecy and promises of God in his life. What he thought was horrible was a blessing. What he thought was the end of them was the beginning of their blessings. What he thought was going to kill them all was going to sustain them all. He couldn't see. He didn't know that God was doing anything. And he surely didn't know that God was what God was doing. Don't let your bitterness lead to unbelief. And then you miss out on what God is doing. Sometimes things are concealed from us. You just can't see it. You just can't know. There are times because of your trouble, because of your pain, because of your hurt, you just can't see healing. You can't see help. You can't see the Lord. You can't experience the Lord. It seems like you won't trust the Lord. I mean, the enormity of your burden is so great that all you see is that. But my friend, God can help us if you'll trust the Lord and if you'll lean on him. There'll come a time that his unseen hand and the things he has been working in your life will be revealed, and we'll understand it better by and by. Things that were being concealed. And then in his blindness, there were things that were being controlled. It seemed like to him everything was so randomly negative. It seemed as though Satan was on the rampage and his attacks were out of control. It seemed like the devil had every one of his boys in his crosshairs and was just killing them off one at a time. I mean, Joseph's dead, Simeon's dead, you're about to kill Benjamin, and the rest of his life will go down there and maybe never come back again. I'm going to go to the grave with gray hairs. I mean, Jacob is at the end of everything, and nothing he said happened, none of it. And Joseph didn't die, Simeon hadn't died, Benjamin wasn't going to die, he wasn't going to the grave with gray hairs because of it. The rest of his boys were not going to die. It was just the negativity that had surrounded him. It seemed as though Jacob's family was under an onslaught of hell, and it could not be stopped. But he could not see. He was blind to the fact that God was in control of it all.
Amen.
Can I tell you, my friend, that there is an unseen hand. While you can't see it, God's in control. He's the one behind the scenes making things happen. And he's taking care of my family and yours. Though we don't see what's happening, his hands are on the control.
Amen.
His hands on the throttle. He's driving the ship. He's the one in charge. Hallelujah. He's the one. Song, Blessed Savior, Thou Goddess. Do we reach the promised land? Praise God. I'm so glad he's in charge. He is. His hand is on the throttle. His eyes on the sparrow. He has the wheel in his hands. He knows what we need. He's looking out for us and meeting every need. There is something that is concealed from him. There's blindness in his life. There's bitterness in his life. And then I want to finish with this. Caitlin, I'm beginning to finish. There is blessedness here. I mean, if you read these verses, this is three of the most negative verses and three of the most depressing verses in the Bible. A man telling you about burying one of his boys, another one being dead, another one that's about to be killed. His son is offering to let grandpa kill the grandsons if he doesn't bring the other son back. I mean, this is some mixed up stuff. In the middle verse of our text tonight, Reuben says to his father, he says, how about if you kill my boys if I don't bring your boy back with a load of corn? And then listen, he's telling his granddad, you're killing grandkids if I don't bring your favorite son back. This is a mixed up mess. This is some seriously disjointed and disordered stuff that's going on. But yet there are blessings here that can only come from the unseen hand of God. I mean, Jacob thinks this is horrible. Jacob thinks this is bad. Jacob thinks nothing about this is good. But finally he says, we're not going to get bread any other way. So take Benjamin, you go. And if you don't bring it back, I'll die. Sure as the world. When they get down there, they think it's bad. They can't understand. Things are concealed from them. They don't see the unseen hand of God. And if Joseph sees them, but they don't understand who he is. He knows them, but he's hidden from them. And finally, he even sends them back towards home. My friend that devises a plan to kidnap Benjamin and keep Benjamin in Egypt with him. He puts money in their bags. Don't let them pay for the corn. And then on top of that, he puts the king's cup in one of them's bag. Have them sends them off from home and sends the police after them to chase them down. Have said one of them's got the king's cup in your bag and you're a thief. Have you going back with me and he knew it was in Benjamin's bag. Have they find it in Benjamin's bag, said, I'm going to take you back. We're going to take you back to Egypt. You're not going back to your father and Reuben. Remember, daddy's just liable to kill him grandkids. If I don't take Benjamin back, bad way as he's in, he won't understand. And he'll give me no mercy, give my sons no mercy. And finally he speaks up and he tells them that. And that police brings all of them back to Joseph. And Joseph didn't even know what all was going to happen. And finally he couldn't stand it no more. And he run everybody out of the room and he broke down and began to weep aloud. And to cry aloud. There's a lot of bitterness going on here. And a lot of tension taking place here. And they didn't know what to say to him. And finally that man weeping aloud, who is the king, says unto them, oh, he said, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And that is chapter 45, verse number 3. Oh, that is a likeness of conviction. They realized that my friend, that the favorite son of the father was alive. And he was provoking them about the father living. And these sinful brothers were convicted and they were in fear. And they were troubled at his presence. Do you remember when you realized Jesus was who he said he was? He revealed himself unto you. And you find yourself weeping and trembling under fear that you're headed to hell. And the wrath of God would be poured out on you if you didn't have mercy from the Lord. Amen. They couldn't see what was happening. The praise God when they trembled with fear and didn't know what to say. After Joseph said, Joseph atop of Christ, Joseph, verse number 4, chapter 45, said unto his brethren, come near unto me. I read through this portion recently in the Bible and wrote down the verse and next to it. Out there in the margin of my Bible, Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what the Lord says to the sinner when he's under conviction. Come near unto me. I pray you when they came near, he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Notice he didn't say, I'm Joseph and I'm the king, and you fellows are about to get it. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother. I'm Joseph, you know, and I love you because I'm your brother. You didn't do me right, but I loved you. I'm your brother. He had not disavowed them. He had not written them off. He had not had turned against them. At verse 5, he says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He looks at him and said, you know what? Don't worry about it. God had a plan all along. And I forgive you. And I don't want you to feel too hard towards yourself about it. I mean, if I forgive you, I'm the one you sinned against. And if I've forgiven you and if I still love you, then you ought not to be so grieved against yourselves for your own sin. You realize that's what it is when we get saved. When the Lord helps us realize that if he's forgiven us, that we can even live with peace in our own hearts. That he's given us peace in our hearts and in our minds because we're at peace with God. And he says in verse number 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in the which there shall be neither hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by so great a deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, the unseen hand. And he hath made me a father unto Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Though Jacob didn't see it, Jacob was not even there. And Joseph saw it. How often do we see the secondary causes? We don't see the primary cause. Oh, we see that the brother sold him. How we see that the bloody coat. How we see the famine in the land and the hunger. We see the missing sons. But we don't see that God's behind all of this. How we see the secondary cause, but not the real driving force behind it all. Hallelujah. How about this?
We see who to blame, but we miss who to bless. We look at our circumstances and don't realize how the Lord's working something in them. And we devise in our minds who is at fault, who we ought to blame for it. But we miss out on who we ought to bless for it. Has it ever crossed your mind? I'm going to tell you something some of you might not be able to swallow tonight. Has it ever crossed your mind that thing going on in your life that you don't like might not be a work of the devil at all? That God may be the one who wants you to go through that.
Yes,
I mean, that's hard to swallow sometimes. You realize the reason why those disciples went through a storm in the midst of the night while the Lord went apart in the mountain to pray. It was not the devil that did that to them. He said, go ahead and go to the other side. And he went apart into a mountain to pray. It was the Lord that sent them into that storm. We're going to study about it next week in Sunday school. But the question was, who was responsible for putting that thorn in the flesh in the life of the Apostle Paul? Have you studied the Sunday school lesson and just see what you think about it? It was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. How about, friends, has it ever crossed your mind that maybe the Lord has something to do with the thing that you don't like in your life? I remember a fellow by the name of Job. Had the Lord did not afflict Job, the devil did. But it was at the Lord's permission. It was God that allowed those things to come in his life. You realize there is nothing that goes on in our life that does not first flow through the hand of God. He's in control. Sometimes we see who to blame, but we forget who to bless. Who to bless? Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord." You might not see what's going on. How you see the Bible said that Joseph looking at his brothers, he said, "You sold me, but God sent me." If I was just going to talk about how bad it was to be sold into Egypt, I'd say it's your fault. But since I know the whole plan now, since I know how God's going to use this, I can see that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You sold me, but God sent me. It was not you that did this, but God that did this.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. It takes maturity in Christ to see the Lord working through our deepest, darkest, most frustrating experiences of life. It's easy to see God when the sun's shining. It's easy to recognize the Lord and the blessings. I mean, it's easy to get in the car and fire it up, ride down the road and drive fast as what I want to. Have my friend it run good and have gas in it without having to stop by some of that expensive stuff. It's easy then to say, "Lord, the Lord sure has been good to me. I got shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, and a roof over my head, and an automobile to ride in." And when the thing tears up, how do we say, "Well, this may be the plan of the Lord"? How when everything falls apart, do we recognize that God's doing anything in it? When we look around, we just can't find God anywhere. How do we say, like Job, "I know He's here. I can't find Him, but I know He's here"?
Amen.
Amen. It takes maturity in Christ to recognize that when you go through storms and junk, problems and bitterness and frustration in your life that you may never understand it.
Amen. Right.
But that God's still doing something with it.
That's right.
I want to ask you a question tonight. Do we believe Romans 8:28 or do we not?
Yes, sir.
If you believe Romans 8:28, then you got to believe every bad thing that happens in your life, God means it for good. That's right, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, all things work together for good. He didn't say everything was good. A lot of it's going to be bad. It's impossible that you'll live through this world and the fence has not come. Jesus told us that. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Jesus told us that. But all things work together for good. He's going to take all the bad things, all the hard things, all the bitter things, all of the burdensome things, and He's going to work them for our good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, for them who are the called according to His purpose. And tonight you may be frustrated and burdened and bittered and blind to what God's doing. But either we believe Romans 8:28 or we don't believe the Bible tonight. And the Lord will work it for
sin. It was not you that put me here, but God that put me here. There's a blessedness in this. See, they didn't realize there was a pathway that God had devised. Every step into Egypt was the plan of God. The dreams Joseph had, the disappointments that he suffered, even the drought in the land was the pathway of God to get his people in the perfect place for the Lord to care for them. There was a purpose. There was a pathway God had designed. There was a purpose that God had designed. He said, ye thought in chapter number 42, but in verse chapter 45, he says, God meant. Ye thought, but God meant. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord means some good things, but I don't always say good things. When I miss the boat, the Lord means right. Ye thought it to be for evil, but God meant it for good. There's a pathway. There is a purpose. Genesis chapter 50. Turn over a couple of pages if you still have your Bibles. Genesis chapter 50. One of the great chapters of the Bible. Joseph is getting to the end of his life. Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. And they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. Will certainly requite us all the evil we did unto him. They're still afraid of it years on down the road. And their father has died. And now they're worried Joseph is going to finally get his revenge. The Bible said in verse 16, they sent a messenger unto Joseph, say, thy father did command before he died, say, so say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. He said, don't you remember before daddy died, he said for you to forgive us. You're going to do it, aren't you now? You're going to do it. He had done it a long time ago. He had long forgiven them. They thought he might have been insincere. He only did it because daddy's still alive. Now that daddy's dead, he'll go ahead and unleash his venom, his hatred, his anger toward us. And they said, forgive, I pray, the trespass of thy brethren. By the way, that's the first time in your Bible the word forgive is mentioned. The first time. The person forgiving is the greatest type of Christ in the Bible, Joseph. And he's forgiven those who have done him wrong. Well, I'm so glad Jesus forgives folks who did him wrong.
Amen.
He said in verse number 17, middle verse, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to bring wrath against you. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Joseph understood the Romans 8:28 promise to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Aren't you so thankful tonight? My friend, that when the Lord forgave us and brought us into his family, and then he was able to speak words like, fear not, I'll nourish you, I'll comfort you, I'll take care of your family, I'll be good to you. They had no idea the great purpose God had in mind for their lives. God not only had a purpose in the happenings of life, but he also arranges for all the fulfillment of those purposes. He's the one that determines what happens, and he works things to make them happen, and he appoints the happenings of life and arranges the fulfillment of those purposes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Joseph declared that God had been connected to all that had happened in his life. I don't know if you know it or not, but if we'll be honest, we can say that. God has been connected to everything that has happened in our lives. Now, we haven't always done what the Lord wants us to do. But nothing has come to us that didn't first come through his hand. Even when it seemed God was nowhere to be found, God had been there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He had not been disconnected to anything that happened. There are things that happen in life in which it first appears that God is absent. But later we realize that God had been there all along.
And it was the unseen hand of God working when we thought it was the whole world working against us. And it was God working for us. How about this tonight? If you could remember this, if you've forgotten the rest of what I preached, if you could remember this, it may help you. This appointments are His appointments. When you are disappointed, when things didn't go the way you expected, when they don't turn out the way you wanted, oftentimes those disappointments are His appointments. What you're disappointed with, He has appointed you for. And God has purposed it in your life to accomplish something you can't see. The unseen hand is working, and you don't know it. Have you ever wondered how Joseph could forgive his brothers so quickly after what they'd done to him? I mean, they wanted to kill him. Threw him in a pit. Made fun of him. Sold him like a slave into a foreign land. And did so expecting him to have a short life. Miserable, short life. And then when they ran back into him, he realized they never had told their daddy what they did. They'd covered it up all these years. I mean, it'd been real easy for Joseph. The more he learned about them, the madder he could get. Just want to shake him to the brains rattled. Yet he forgave them so quickly for what they had done to him. It's because he saw the reason why he could forgive them so quickly and so easily is because he saw the hand of God as the primary cause in what he had gone through. He said, the reason why that I can forgive you is because you might have meant this bad, but God meant it good. If he couldn't see that God meant good, he'd have never been able to forgive them.
Right.
And if you don't see that God means good in your life, you're going to be mad at everybody else who's caused you trouble instead of loving God for doing you good. You don't learn to recognize the blessings that God's put in your life. You're going to be upset at the troubles and the burden because of your blindness forever. And you're never going to appreciate what God does. You're going to always have trouble forgiving others until you recognize that God has blessed you in spite of them. They didn't do Joseph right. But Joseph said, God hadn't done me wrong. You didn't want to do me right, but God has not done me wrong. And God was behind this. When you realize that God's doing you good even when men are doing you wrong, that's when you can forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you. As long as what you think like Jacob did, that all this is against me. It's what he said, it's all against me. Jacob wasn't the one in prison. Jacob wasn't the one that was sold into slavery. Jacob was not the one who had been thrown in a pit. And yet he said, it's all against me. It's all against me. It's all against me. I can't stand no more of this. They wanted to take Jacob down there and hand him off to them Egyptian police. But he said, I can't handle no more of this. He's so absorbed with himself, he can't get relief from the bitterness. Meanwhile, Joseph, it had all been against him. It had been against him. He was sold. He was in the pit. He was a sin into slavery. He was in prison. He was mistreated. He was forsaken. And yet he said, God is working this for me. And if the whole world is against me, but God is for me, he can see God's blessings in his life. You can release the bitterness when you can see that God's for you while the world is against you. You'll never get relief over the bitterness as long as what you can see, only see that all this is against me. You'll never get relief from the bitterness that way. Jacob, his name's changed to Israel. God blessed his seed. He's the chosen one of God. The Lord loved him. The Lord loved Jacob. But I'm going to tell you something about Jacob. We're just going to be honest about it tonight. Jacob died bitter. When Jacob got old and went down there to see Joseph, even after he figured out Joseph was alive, Jacob never got over it. He met Pharaoh. Ain't everybody gets to meet the king. Jacob is a goat farmer, a shepherd, a smelly fellow that is an abomination to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. I mean, people like that don't get to meet the king. Any of you ever got to meet the king, the president? We don't get to do stuff like that. Normal people. Jacob was some old guy from up in the hills and mountains and been chasing goats and sheep all his life, and he stunk. Shepherds always stink. They smell like the sheep and the goats. Pharaoh despised that mess. And Jacob got to meet the king. When he got to meet the king asked him how old he was. He said, I'm 120 years old. And said, my days have been very few and full of lots of trouble. He is 120-something years old. And he told the king, I hadn't lived very long, hadn't been a very long life, and all of it's been rough, and it's been miserable, I've had problems, and the world is me. You see the attitude of Jacob, this all is against me. Jacob is the kind of fellow that would complain if you hung him with a brand new rope. I mean, he just can't be satisfied with anything. Jacob's the one that could see the dark lining in every silver cloud. I mean, everything is negative. And Joseph is right the opposite. Everything really was against him. Did happen to him. He did suffer these things. And he looks at his brothers and he said, I can't be upset with you. God's been too good to me. The Lord's blessed me. God's done these things for me. I said, it all was the goodness of the Lord. I love the Lord. I love you. And I've been loving everybody. And I'm on my way to heaven. And he just cannot be angry because he realizes how good God has been to him. If you really get Romans 8:28, you won't be a Jacob tonight, a blind man, a complainer, but you'll be a Joseph, a God friend with forgiveness in your heart and a joy in your journey that you're traveling along the way. My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know my Lord makes no mistake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a lot of things I'd like to be very different. It's a lot of things that I would make very different if it was in my power to do so. A lot of things, and I'm finished preaching, you come on the song. A lot of things in my own self I'd make different. I'd like to be about 2 inches taller. Can a man add a cubit to his height by taking thought, Jesus said? Isn't that right? I'd like to have a new King Ranch F-150 two-tone four-wheel drive. Amen. With leather seats, two-tone leather seats, that saddle leather. And I mean, you smell it, that new car smell. I'd like to have that. That ain't going to happen no time soon either. Especially not the way that inflation's getting hold of things right now. Automobiles especially. I'd like to have a new John Deere tractor. Four-wheel drive. I mean a hoss. Bigger. I would. I'd change a lot of things. If it's just carnally, just on a real surface level, just left up to me. If it's left up to me, I'd take that lace in my back that gets so bad sore when I stand still that I can't hardly stand on my right leg. I'd take that place and I'd fix it all. It wouldn't be like that anymore. And that nerve that shoots down my leg and runs down my knee, I'd shut all that off and cut all that pain off if that was up to me. And I'd especially do that because it hurts the worst when I get done preaching on Sundays, because that's when I'm standing still in one place. As long as what I got the adrenaline running while the Holy Ghost is setting me under the anointing, I never know it. I go home every Sunday night and waller and squall and carry on about how bad it is. And Sunday, the kids, the only thing they got to say to me is, y'all might preach so long. Amen. If it was up to me, I'd change that scene. But I'm not in charge of all these things. Amen. It's up to me. I've watched some of the people around me in the past couple of years go through some real hard things. And it's burdened me, and I prayed about it, but it's things outside of my control. Brother Eddie, if it is up to me, I'd take the pain away. If it is just within my power, I'd lift the burden off their shoulders. Pay off the big bills and take care of the medical bills and stuff. I'd heal all the wounds. It's up to me. I would just
take the burdens off of their heart for those cold tombstones that some have weighing heavy on their mind again and again. These things are not within my power. But I'm going to tell you what I know. When you think everything in the whole world is against you, God is for you.
Yes. Yes.
And if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I'm not going to be a Jacob and spend my life looking at the half-empty cup and squalling about what's not in it. And I'm not going to spend my life saying, all this is against me. All this is against me. Oh, that's just going to be the end of me. I'm going to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm going to try to love somebody while I'm here. And I'm going to try to pray for somebody while I'm here. And I'm going to try to be good to somebody while I'm in this world. And I'm going to try to point somebody to the Lord and tell them there is, in the midst of your trouble, an unseen hand that is pushing buttons and flipping switches, pulling cords and guiding this thing along the way. And you can put your trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Oh,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That sweet preacher I preached for this week, his wife is legally blind now. Last fall at our camp meeting, they came and she was having lots of trouble with her eyes, multiple surgeries. She had worn a patch on it part of the days while she was there, lots of serious pain. And they went in finally, they gave up on some of it, couldn't make it work anymore. She's in so much pain, they said, there's one way we can relieve it. We can go in up under where that thing is so swollen on the inside of your eye, and we can puncture it and let it go ahead and drain out. It'll take all of the pressure off, but you'll never be able to do more than see just lights and shadows, and you'll forever be blind out of an eye, and she can hardly see out of the other. Finally, that's what they had to do. Brother Randy will tell you this week, she stood there in the foyer of the church after the church service was done. Everybody had gone home. She had played the piano. She had fixed meals. She had cooked for us. And we ate till we thought we'd never need to eat again. She had been so kind to us, and their family was so good to us. And she sat there and she bragged on the young ones while they sung. And she patted her husband on the back while he welcomed the people. And she straightened out every songbook around the church and stood and shook hands and smiled real big. And she said, I told her, I said, you sure do seem to be feeling better the last time I saw you. And she smiled and she said, yes. She said, I can't see, but I'm not hurting. She said, I can't see, but God's taking the pain away. And she smiled. She said, God's really helped me. And I'm doing so much better. And I thought, praise God for somebody that can see what God does for them instead of complaining about what they do not have. Amen. Pressed on me. I'm a chronic complainer. I don't complain out loud to everybody. I don't complain out loud to you. I seldom complain out loud to my family, but I complain to the Lord. That hurt my soul to think that the Lord's been so good to me, and yet I gripe and bellyache and whine and complain. And I ought to just say, Lord, you've been so good to me, I can't be upset at anybody. There's some people that's not done me right. There's some people that have made decisions that have affected my life, that have cost me finances, that have cost me friends, that have cost me lifestyle, that have created friction in my life and burdens for my family. But tonight I can't be mad at them, because I have to just be thankful for what God has done for me. They meant it for evil, but God means it for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight I would say that maybe there's somebody else here that's got the same kind of trouble that I've got, and it is that you're blind to God's blessings. You see who to blame, but you can't see who to bless. But I'd be kidding myself if I said there's somebody in that shape tonight. I think we all get in it. Maybe this evening you need to find a place to pray about this matter. Maybe the Lord can help you put a little sweetness in your life, take away some burden and some bitterness. I'd find a place, a time right now to pray. Everybody stand if you would please. Sister Tanya's going to sing. I preach what God's put on my heart. If I have ever preached the truth to save people, I preach it tonight. I wonder, would you receive it and embrace it this evening in your life? Let God give you the help you need.
You may be absolutely right and absolutely justified in your frustrations the way Jacob was. So was Joseph. But instead, he chose to see the blessings of God instead of the burdens of others because of that unseen hand in his life. If you need to pray, would you come? Sing for us when you get ready. If you need to pray, these altars are open tonight.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads the ways I cannot see while going through this world of
woe. We're far too quick to see
this hand still.
Even when we don't see what God is doing, He's still doing it.